internet. Welcome back to Mind Vector. So today we were talking about catfishing.
Oh, okay. And, I don't know. Yeah. We're actually going with that one.
Catfishing? Mm-hmm. You know what that is?
Yeah, I know. I think that movie made it popularized the term.
Oh, was there a movie about it?
Really? Yeah, that's where I first heard about it.
So
this old lady, she was just like messaging guys online and pretending to be someone else. And basically this dude, he recorded it from like a documentary style and recorded like, oh, I'm going to meet her. I spoke to her family, yada, yada, yada. And then finally he meets her and it's just like some old lady in a trailer park.
What?
Yeah, and she's married and everything, and the husband knows because she's done this before. So
holy shit!
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. And at the end, they give an explanation about, I think it was catfish. I don't remember. It's been so long, but basically, it was either in a catfish tank in order to keep the fish like moving so that they taste good. You put some other fish in there that I think either attacks them or bothers them or something like that.
Huh.
So you're always, it's basically just to keep them on their toes. So that's kind of why they ended up calling it catfish, because it's like,
to be on your toes.
Be on your toes, basically.
What?
So
I didn't know that. Yeah, fun fact.
Yeah, so they ended up basically making a MTV show about it. And it starts the dude who got catfished, and he goes around with other people who are going to go meet people that they've been talking to online, and they find out that they're not the people that they send in the pictures. So,
that sounds like, I don't know, that sounds super shady.
I mean, catfishing is pretty shady. Like, it's stuff that happens in online dating. Like, people lie to each other, and you get a lot of women who are, like, basically, they don't have much of a social life. So they're kind of taking advantage of the guys that are super lonely. So they basically talk to these guys, kind of trying to compensate for the lack of friends. And they're kind of trying to warp his romantic interest into like a friendship thing. So it's pretty sad if you kind of see what's going on in a lot of those cases.
Because I thought catfishing was more like a scam, like they're trying to get money.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They're still misrepresenting themselves, but it's for like monetary gain or I guess relationship.
Well,
whatever.
They do it for any type of gain though. They'll do it because they, you know, they're lonely. They want the entertainment, the companionship. They want the money. So for guys,
and
they
a long period of time, they reel them in, and then they all of a sudden drop the bomb on them.
Yeah,
like once they finally put, delay meeting long enough, and then finally they kind of have to, and then it's like, oh, here I am.
Yeah, pretty much.
Once they're invested, and they're like invested, they're in. Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah, once you get them on the hook, they basically just take advantage. So they'll talk to them enough to, like, it happens to women as well as men. Like, girls
will send
pictures of themselves that's not them, and maybe later on they'll try to ask for money, and sometimes it'll be some dude who's like hyper charismatic or romantic and talk to the chick and be like, hey, so I just had this accident and my daughter, her face is falling off and I need money for surgery. So, and the woman will be like, oh, okay, you know, I'll do anything for you. And she
sends
him like
$1,000. Yeah, women are more naturally susceptible to that kind of thing.
Sad stories? Like.
Yeah. Just because we're more empathetic or whatever.
I don't know. I don't know if women are actually all that more empathetic. Because sometimes when you put it to the microscope, I don't know if it's just pop science or whatever, but there's that story about they'll have like a room full of men and a room full of women, and they'll show each one of them, like, someone getting an injury or something, and the guys will all wince or whatever, and the women just kind of stare there. So
yeah, but is it, like, shock, or is it, like, apathy?
Well, who knows? I mean, I would probably need to read more about the details of this study, because, I mean, you could argue it either way, that maybe women are more focused on like your emotional experience opposed to your physical one. So guys are like, shit, that dude just lost his leg to that alligator.
Mm.
And they're like, oh my God. And then the women are just like, huh. But then, you know, you put a story out there like, I don't know, this woman, she got lied to. And before you know it, you got a Lifetime network.
Damn.
So.
Have you ever been catfished?
I mean, I think anyone who's tried online dating has been close to being catfished because there's so many cam girls. So it's always like some girl that's like, hey, blah, 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 come and view my webcam. Or if you want to go out, you need to see my webcam first or whatever. So, but nah, not really. I haven't really been catfished, so to say.
You haven't like chatted with someone for a long time and then you meet them and it's like not even close.
Not really. I think I've kind of come into, you know, when you're younger and you really are a little more naive. For me, I think it was girls that were just kind of lonely and they didn't really know what they wanted. So I think I kind of fell into that where they were really just kind of looking for a friend. And I was looking for something more serious. And they were just kind of afraid to...
To commit.
They didn't really know what they wanted to do because at the same time they liked me. Like, they legitimately liked having me in their life, but if they couldn't give me what I wanted, then I'm just kind of wasting my time with them, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Like Patrice O'Neal says, don't let them waste your time. Yep.
It's true.
Yep.
Like, especially from working in offices, I got to see that. All the idle chatter and stuff like that. But what about you? Have you ever been in a catfish situation?
No.
You ever, because you said you used to speak to a lot of dudes when you were younger, all the guys turned out to be legitimate?
Yeah, well, I was like 13 or 14 when I got the internet. But so I wasn't telling anybody I was 14.
So you were catfishing.
Uh-huh.
You were jailbait.
Pretty much.
I think I did something kind of similar when I was really young. There was some girl I had met in a chat room. I was like in middle school and I'd been talking to her for a while. I never lied about my age, but I just never told her how old I was. It never came up. So me and her were chatting for the longest. Actually, I think I might still have her on some of my social media. I haven't spoken to her in like a decade or so. But yeah, me and her would chat and I think she was maybe 19 and I think I was maybe 13 or something like that.
Whoa.
Yeah, she was a little bit older.
So do you tend to go for older chicks or are you ageist?
Am I ageist? I wouldn't say I tend to go for older chicks. I've been out with girls that were like a couple years older than me before. I think the oldest was one girl who was about four or five years older than me.
Do you have a cutoff? Do you care?
To put it crudely, as long as I want to bang them, I mean, that's the cutoff, like I guess.
Good looking 40-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't object. So.
Cougar. Right on.
So I won't say.
What about the lower limit?
Well, I don't want to go to jail, so that's the cutoff there.
Of course not.
So I would say probably 20 and up. I wouldn't mind. Like, but that's kind of the thing, though. Like, when it comes to girls that are younger, it's kind of harder to bridge the mental gap because, you know, she might think that she's like super mature.
What if she's really mature? Yeah.
Well, every girl thinks that they're super mature.
Well, compared to guys their same age gap, their same age group, they probably are.
I mean, I guess it depends. There's immature on both sides, but
yeah,
it kind of depends on the way. Like, you can have a guy's like pretty responsible, or whatever, but a little goofy or something like that, and you'll get some snooty girl at 20. Like, I only date older men. She doesn't know jack shit about the world.
Yeah, doesn't know how to do her taxes.
Yeah, So, what about you? Have you ever, you never, you said you never dated anyone that was younger than you.
No, I was not, because I have a younger brother, so I couldn't deal with the immaturity.
Oh.
Even if it was like 1 year older, if I was 1 year older or whatever, I was like, no, gotta be older. And I had daddy issues too, so I was always trying to fill that void.
That's true, giggity.
Giggity.
And yeah, I think most people have parent issues. I think everybody kind of does nowadays because there's no such thing as wholesome families, completed regular
Ugh.
families anymore.
So rare, yeah.
For guys, it's like you compensate for it by trying to sleep with as women, many women as possible, and girls, they have their way about going to fulfill their daddy issues as well.
Oh yeah. And it well, for girls, it's also like destructive to sleep with a lot of guys. Whereas for guys, it's kind of a boost to a point.
To a point, till you find the
Yeah.
one that wants to say that she was, raped or something like that later.
Oh God.
So,
Wait, how does that make you?
how does that put a guy in jeopardy if some girl's lying
Yeah.
about? Well,
Are you speaking from experience?
I mean, I had one girl who did that. She was wanting me to give her more attention, and I kissed her a bit that night, and the next day she was basically
Freaking
saying,
out.
yeah, she said that I had molested her or something. I'm like, bitch, you're a year
Whoa.
younger than me. This isn't molestation.
Whoa.
But nah, she apparently she had told some guy or something. Looking back on it though, I think it was more so she got put in a weird situation because she basically was kind of floating out of a relationship. And I was around, so I think it was just kind of easier for her to say that, well, I didn't exactly want this or whatever. That way she didn't
Oh,
have to take any responsibility for it. Because there was another girl lying on the bed while me and her were messing around, and, it was obvious I wasn't forcing anything on her, so.
whoa, 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 whoa! How does that happen? Party hardy.
I wish, but no. She was going through a breakup, so she went to stay with one of her friends. And looking back on it, that friend had a hoarding mom, because that place was holy
Damn.
shit. But she was sharing a room with her and sharing the bed, so her friend was hanging out with us, and her friend had fallen asleep or was lying down at least. So me and her were fooling around a bit.
Oh, she just happened to be there. She was just
Yes.
crashing.
Yeah, well, it was her place, but the girl I was visiting was living with
Oh, okay.
the person who
Gotcha.
actually stayed there. So she was, the girl I was messing around with, she was crashing at her friend's place because she was breaking up from her boyfriend. But apparently, after I left, her boyfriend came over and I had written my initials on her butt. So I think that's why she probably got into a situation where she needed to alleviate some responsibility there and just say that, oh, well, he came on so strong or something like that.
That's so funny.
Because, yeah, like me and her, we hung out like a couple weeks later, and she was, I was kind of messing with her, trying to make sure she was, basically
Okay,
gonna
in the
say
mind.
whatever I wanted her to say at that point.
Dang.
Yeah, I was doing stuff to her. She enjoyed it though, she had a blast.
That's good. Well, shit. No, that reminds me of I was a juror on a case, a rape case. And what struck me was that the chick, she was like, she had a friend that she had called to pick her up from the date that the supposed rape went down. And he was a good looking dude. So in my view, in my skeptic mind, I was like, this chick is just trying to save face because she likes this guy. You know, it's like total. It was totally obvious to me that she was just setting him up to be like her savior, so that he would get with her. You know what I mean? And like the poor guy was just wanted to get laid, and she was for it. And then I guess she had hoes remorse or whatever, and she called her friend. She called her buddy up and he picked her up and then asked her about it. And then she just made up the story.
That's actually a good term for it.
Hold your Mars.
Yes. And
Pretty
honestly,
much.
that's the two situations I've been in where something like that happens. I think that's usually a good way to kind of think of it, because it was when they were kind of in like a gray area of the relationship. So,
Yeah, they're like trying to push it one way or the other.
yeah, because for guys, if they don't have that sense of security with the girl that, okay, she's not a hoe, then it's kind of harder to invest in her. So she'll just say that, oh, well, I didn't really want this. I mean, yeah, I came over with no underwear on.
Yeah, and in a way,
Something
if
like
like
that.
if the guy comes to the rescue, then it kind of clarifies the relationship. It kind of crystallizes things as like, yeah, I'm here for you or whatever. And that there's that like insecurity when they're not, they're kind of just kind of lukewarm about her. Then she wants a little bit more. Something to that effect.
Yeah, that too. And it's like, maybe not even consciously, but the girls will kind of do something like that where they will try to provoke jealousy out of their mates. So they'll have like the guys kind of float near each other if she's keeping a lot of people floating around her, just to see how they all respond. So that's why it's kind of, that's one of those things where it's like, hey, believe all women, whatever.
No,
So it's
do
like, nah,
not.
you need evidence.
Yes, please.
But
But yeah, in that case or whatever, the rape case, there, I mean, she got scratched up, but like a lot of it could have been her own doing, you know what I mean? 'Cause she went to like the ER and everything. And there was a report filed and all kinds of stuff. And it was just like the jury was convinced that she was raped. Like it was a small town, so everybody was going to take her side. And the guy that was being prosecuted was a fireman and a paramedic. And so he was like, I honestly don't think that he was capable of it. But that's just me.
How did the guy end up?
My
How did the
objective mind.
What was the verdict of the case? Was he ruled as they ruled guilty, or what did they decide?
They decided that he was guilty, but I think because of his service, he was let off a little bit lighter than if he hadn't been. So he got like probation, I think. And I think they discharged him from being a fireman and all that for a couple of years, and then he had to register as a sex offender. So that
Yeah.
didn't go well for him.
So yeah, I mean, there are risks for guys for being too promiscuous. So I mean, you have to deal with like fake rape accusations and child
But he like
support.
he courted her and they were texting and they showed us all the texts and it was like all copacetic. It was totally hoes remorse. Like she went to his place and they did it and everything. So there was semen and everything. They found it was like totally consensual except for her word.
What was the story behind the scratches?
Well, I mean, it could have been playing. They were playing rough,
Right.
but to her, for her, she said that he like held her down and stuff when she wanted to leave.
And he scratched her, holding her down? Where was she scratched?
In her vag,
What?
and that's just like a weird place to have. I mean, they checked her out, and that's what they found. I guess they took pictures and all that stuff, and then she had like other bruises and stuff. On her like arms and that kind of thing, and her face, I think.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean it was
Did she
him.
get
Maybe she was
these?
dating other guys, and they found out that she was being a hoe, and she got beat up after the fact. And
Yeah.
then she went and she put pressed charges on, put it pinned it on him. It's like anything could have
The vaginal scratches. Maybe she was dating a cat. I hear they have spikes on their
happened.
penis. But
Yeah, she was kind of weird.
yeah, I mean, there's that aspect of it too. So it's kind of dangerous to get involved with people too fast and not really know what you're getting into.
Yep. I don't even remember how they met.
That's another creepy thing too, because you have to worry about that nowadays. And if the girl's into rough play, you have to really trust her that she's not going to go and say something like that. Because one of my exes, I know that me and her were still friends after, like a couple of years after we had broken up. And she used to like to be choked in bed. And when her and her new boyfriend were having fights, like they were the type that it would bleed all over social media.
Whoa.
So she had said something like, I have marks from you doing yada yada to me or whatever to about this guy. So, you know, being that I had been with her before and knew what she was into, it's kind of like,
no.
So that's one of those things that it's really hard to prove, and it's horrible because it gives a lot of space for evil to get away unpunished or evil to be inflicted unpunished. So,
yep. It's like you almost have to record every session for you to prove that it was consensual.
Pretty
like,
much.
She asked me to choke her.
Yeah, I guess end up like going and interviewing like past boyfriends or something. It's like,
yeah, pretty yeah. much.
It's like, yeah, I choked her too. Oh yeah, I choked her as well. So
yeah, she loves that shit.
She loves it.
Ugh. Nah, I'm not into it. I'm not into it. Not my thing.
So, you know, whatever floats people's boats, but it gets risky. Plus with online dating too, you can wind up in situations where you can get robbed. Like that's probably like the oldest form of catfishing. There's a game called Red Dead Redemption where they actually do that. Like they'll have like a woman who's in trouble on the side of the road. And then when you get out to help her, two dudes jump out from behind the carriage and
wow.
trying to rob you. So
this is in a game?
Yeah, but I'm sure people have done that in real life. Like I've read stories about that where women have gotten tried for murder and stuff. It's because they were with two guys who were... They would basically use her as bait. And then
she was in on it.
Yeah, they would use her as bait, and then when somebody would come, they would just murder them.
Damn.
So.
But she could have been a victim, too. Like, they could have picked her up and beat her up and then just left her there and then just waited.
Nah, she wasn't. They had done it with a few people.
Oh.
Yeah. But.
Snap.
It's one of those things where, yeah, I don't know. Like the whole female responsibility thing is kind of it's one of those things people don't like to think about. Because, I mean, I imagine it's kind of hard to like, I knew one girl who claimed she had been raped like 10 times. And it's like, what are you doing?
Like. Wow.
The thing is,
common denominator.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
You would want to prepare women to put them in to basically not put themselves in a situation where that's likely to happen, but they end up in like a rebuttal, like, "Well, guys they should just not rape." It's like, "Well, yeah, and you know, money should rain from the sky too." But you can't just tell evil no, because if you could, then it wouldn't be a problem.
Yep. Like that whole Kavanaugh thing.
Yeah.
Trying to pin that shit on him.
Yeah, and like some girls are into that whole thing about if they regret it the day after, they should be able to consider it rape. So, like, they call it withdrawing consent. It's like, well, that's like kind of reneging. So if you like buy something and you didn't like the warranty or whatever, you already agreed to the purchase, so.
Can't get your refund on that one, chicks.
Yeah, some girls, they wanted to consider it rape, too. Like, if a guy does something where he gets, like, a fake receipt of his bank account and writes their number or something like that and mislead them, they can consider the process of misleading them as rape.
But isn't that, like, a product of slut-shaming? Because women are trying to save face when they do that.
How would you say it's a product of slow shaming? What do you mean?
Well, like if she's known to sleep around a lot and then she gets labeled a slut for sleeping with the guy, like in their mind, it's purely in their mind. It's psychological, and they get that remorse from sleeping with a guy, just like a one-night stand or whatever. and then it triggers that remorse. So then they take it that extra mile, saying that I didn't consent. This wasn't my what I wanted. Especially if there's alcohol involved.
Well, I guess you could make that argument, but I still feel like that's kind of like a responsibility shrug. Because if they're getting into that situation where they do it that much to be a slut, then it's not so much that they're not doing it. It's just now they're willing to throw someone else under the bus so that they don't have to reap the consequences of their actions.
Yeah, so, they're trying to, like, it's a, what is it, cognitive dissonance. They're trying to leave their own cognitive, you know, yeah, conception of it. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a lot of guys. It could just be the one guy.
Yeah, it's manipulative. It's a pretty evil thing to do.
Yeah. I'm not justifying it by any means. I'm just, like, analyzing the process of, like, why.
Yeah, I mean, I guess from an analytical point, yeah, I could see how they would think that way. Like, this is kind of like the path of least resistance, instead of having to deal with the entire, like, small town thinking that she's a slut and her value goes down and all that. She could just say, well, you know, he kind of raped me. It's like, we were having drinks, so I wasn't really sober. So... Mm-hmm. Or she could say that, well, I said no, but, you know, girls, sometimes they'll say no, but it's a playful no, so it's not really a no, it's just kind of a, they want you to, you know, they want you to be a little more domineering, so. it sounds really rapey, but it's.
Well, no, because they're, I mean, you gotta have some passion to it, you know, maybe they just want more of that, but there's just no nuance anymore. It's like all or nothing. It's like 0 to 100.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, I'm not being conspiratorial or anything, but byproduct, I think it's just like a kind of a form of divide and conquer, because you get men and women just fighting over nonsense, basically. You get people so, like, confused that they don't know what's rape and what's not rape, what's consensual sex and what isn't consensual.
Mm.
But people walk around with their heads on backwards, so.
Well, there's a very common, like, fantasy also. Like, rape porn is pretty popular with women.
Yeah.
And when interviewed women, that's the most common one. And I think it stems from evolution also. Like you said, divide and conquer.
What do you mean it would stem from evolution?
Well, in war times, what they would do is they would kill all the men and they would seize the women. And then they would reproduce with them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So that's like, I think that's a remnant of evolution.
Yeah, and I mean, I think women being pretty agreeable is probably part of that too.
So. Yeah. And hoes.
What'd you say?
And hoes.
And hoes being agreeable.
Yeah. Disloyal. These hoes ain't loyal.
Yeah.
But so. It's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to fight the guy? You're not a match.
Right. So it's either, you know, submit or die. So most people mm-hmm. would take that. If it comes down to it, they'll just lie there and, you know, deal with it, which is understandable. You're being coerced. So.
And I think that the broken women with those kinds of proclivities that want the rough stuff, they're like conditioned to have that heightened experience. So then anything less than that is not, it just doesn't cut it for them as far as, you know, satisfaction.
Yeah, I could see kind of an argument for that. Like, Ted Bundy, when he was getting close, you know about Ted Bundy, he was this dude who killed a lot of women, the serial killer.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, he basically started talking about being against porn when his death sentence was getting, well, his execution date was coming up. So, the way he kind of phrased it was that it started off with porn, and after you become used to porn, eventually you want something that's going to give you more excitement, and eventually he ran into like a dead end where the most craziest of porn wasn't doing it for him, so he went out and started doing stuff to women. So yeah, I can see something like that happening on the women's side too, that regular sex could get boring to them, so they want to feel like the guy's present and into it just to feel alive. So
yeah, but that, I don't even think that that would be, like, in my case, I would never take it that far. I think it's more of like an abuse, childhood abuse thing that goes way, way back. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even mean like rape. I mean just like real bad abuse that they see that intense form of interaction as affection or attention.
It would probably depend too on how much you enjoy sex or how much you like really like sex. Because imagine with the girls who are probably into like more severe stuff, like if they want to be tied up and whipped and stuff like that, or have candle wax poured on them, then they're probably kind of more sexually active. So they're going to need something a little with more kick to get them going. So.
Freaks. Crazy. Yeah. She a freak.
Yeah, so. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's, you know, as long as everybody's having fun.
Yeah, I mean, as long as there's trust. That's another thing. It's like that girl that tried to pinch it on you didn't care. She didn't care about the consequence. I mean, there was no loyalty there.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it, too, that kind of goes into when you start, like, mixing, like, pain and sex. I think part of it, too, is, like, you have to kind of know your partner well enough so you know, like, how to play within their limits and maybe even how to push them a little further, too.
Yeah, you build it up. You don't just fucking go for it.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, like, complex human emotions probably involved in it.
Yeah. I don't know nothing about that. The deviant shit.
Yeah, but
deviant stuff are people into these days? Oh yeah, ass eating. I hear that one a lot.
Yeah. I mean, we have soap nowadays, so why not?
But that's still where the poop comes out.
So. I mean,
that's like the worst thing that comes out of you. Or her.
But again, we have soap.
So. We have soap. So antibacterial.
Yeah, as long as she's clean, why not?
Squeaky at the shower.
Exactly. All the sex organs have stuff come out of them. Like, guys pee and girls, you know. With the vagina, it's two different holes, but still, it's close enough. So.
But, so long as it's not in Shark Week.
What'd you say, as long as it's not Shark Week?
Yeah.
So.
Then you got a whole different thing going on.
Yeah, then you got other issues to worry about.
Well, you don't have to worry about pregnancy.
Yeah.
That when my mind goes to like ass play, that to me would be, if I were a guy, why would I put it in there? Because she can't get pregnant. That would be the incentive. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I just can't. I can't wrap my mind around why they would want to do it otherwise, unless they're into like gay porn or something.
I don't buy that one. Like, a lot of people like to say that anal sex is like too close to homosexual sex. Like, I don't know, you can,
but with a chick? Yeah,
no, nah, like, I mean,
she's got other places.
Yeah, but I mean, well, you could say that what a blowjob is akin to oral to gay sex, and it's, I mean, yeah, men and women both have mouth holes and assholes, but you still like a mouth with a vagina attached to it, just like you like an ass with a vagina attached to it. So
it just comes down to novelty then.
I mean, well, I say vagina nowadays, but like an organic vagina, not like a, you know, 2019 vagina. So,
I bought this one.
Well, 2020, I should say now.
Had it built.
Yeah, went to the doctor and took some shots, and now there's a vagina. It's that Audi isn't any.
It takes a lot more than shots for that. Got to go under the knife for that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I don't know. Because it doesn't feel the same either, from what I hear. It's just like empty. It's not the same.
I mean, just like some guys, there are guys out there that don't like it either. So they can be with the women that don't like it.
And everybody's happy. It just wouldn't be my go-to.
Well, maybe not at first. If you started wanting something more, you like maybe one day you're like, hey, well, why not try anal? And before you know it, maybe you want to have wax poured on you.
Maybe like a couple years in. Yeah, a couple years in, maybe. Once things get kind of dull.
Yeah. So that's just kind of how it goes. People always want more.
I guess.
Like, I don't know. I think another thing that's kind of weird is the whole cucking thing. I don't know why people get into that. That was one weird thing. One experience on online dating, I had a guy message me, and he's like, hey, can you bang my girlfriend while I'm out of town?
What?
Yeah, so me being paranoid, my first thought was, I don't want to get robbed, and I don't want to get STDs.
Yeah.
So that's why I was kind of like, what does she look like? But nah.
You're semi-open to that one.
But nah, I'm just too paranoid. I don't want to lose my money or, you know, gain herpes or something.
Yeah. Oof. That's a weird one for sure.
I think part of it too is kind of like, I think that one kind of comes from having too much screen usage. And
you think so?
And infidelity. I think partially is that if they can't really trust their girl to be loyal to them.
Oh.
The next best thing is basically they can just control who she sleeps with.
Yeah, they still get to like kind of control that.
Yeah, in a way. I think that's probably where it comes from. It's like this is just kind of like a pseudo solution.
Mm.
Or that they watch so much porn that they're just kind of not aroused by the girl actually being there anymore, so they still need to kind of see her in it to still get that same feeling. Mm. But that's my pop psychology analysis, though.
Pop psychology, I like it. Yeah, I mean, there's got to also be like a low self-esteem component there. That like he would lower himself to such a beta or be beta and just know it. That he can't,
yeah.
He can't, like, he's not enough for her, but he's still willing to hang around.
Yeah, it could be a mixture of that and trauma, too. Like, maybe they got so abused or whatever that's kind of, like, their go-to for, like, a heightened emotional response is to be humiliated, so.
Because
girls are like that, too. Girls like it, well, I shouldn't say all, but, you know, there are girls out there that like it when you spit on them and smack them and all that, so. Call them a slut.
Or so. talk to other girls.
Yeah. So, that's all part of the human condition. People end up kind of, it's like, I don't know, like an emotional Stockholm where you can't deal with the emotions, so you just integrate it into liking it.
Yeah, so, just kind of mind hack it.
Yeah, so maybe that's what happens when it comes to cucks and at least the humiliation aspect of sex.
I don't know. It's like, to me, it's like if they don't see you as enough, well, then why hang around?
Right.
Maybe they don't think they can find somebody better, or if nobody will want them.
Or they could believe that that's just pretty much all there is. So. Like, you see a lot of that in the, kind of in the incel community, that they're just, like, kind of giving up on what American girls are like nowadays.
Hmm.
So.
Again, with the incels.
I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting thing that's kind of happening with the culture nowadays, because there's so many, like, bad predictions. I was thinking about that, how the popular bad predictions. Obesity's going up, STDs are going up, IQs are going down. what else? Cancer. Well, I don't know if cancer is going up or down. I think we're getting better at cancer. But divorce is going up, as well as broken homes are going up. Kids are having sex at earlier ages, so it's kind of a depression is going up and anxiety. So I kind
weakness.
Of, I kind of weakness. Wonder what the future is going to look like.
Yeah, it's all weakness. People just don't want to be uncomfortable anymore because it's uncomfortable to break up with somebody if they don't. If they tell you you're not enough, they just don't. They don't want to go through that pain of it.
Yeah.
Like all this stuff you were listing. It's like there's no willingness to persevere. Seems to me.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I mean, you could say most of it is just a lack of mindfulness and weakness.
Because I can see with the incel thing, I think it's sad for the young guys, you know, because they're young guys. They're what do they got? They've got their whole life ahead of them. But for an older guy, I can see why it would make more sense to be an incel. Because at that point, he would know, you know, if he's not going to be. He would have that experience of just being shot down constantly.
Yeah, well, it's like, it goes a little, like, it's one of those things, if you just think about the term by itself, it doesn't make sense, because, you know, I've said before that I don't really think there's such a thing as an incel, but just speaking of the term itself and how people think of it, a lot of it they think of it, too, is that they can't find, like, a healthy relationship because the society's so sick. And girls say the same thing, too, just in different language. They're like, why can't I find a man that's, you know, who makes enough money or won't cheat on me or, you know, whatever the balance would be for them. So it's just, it's more so that we just kind of have a divided culture right now. Like, the men and women don't trust each other, so no one's really comfortable to commit. I mean, you'd be surprised how many relationships people don't really talk to their partner. If you try to engage in a real conversation with them, it's just like, it just doesn't happen. Like, I don't know, I've seen people that I'll watch them together, and it's just weird to me how they don't really talk about anything.
Huh.
So it's not a surprise that later on that the relationship doesn't work out.
Yeah, you gotta kind of talk. You gotta talk about some of that stuff.
Yeah. People just kind of float in autopilot a lot, which
yeah,
life has gotten so easy. We don't really have to, you know, keep checking for the monsters under the bed in a lot of ways.
It's complicated, man, being in relationships, but at the same time, it's like you trade off the loneliness for just being with somebody. Versus being alone, because people don't know how to be by themselves, to just be themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like they'd rather just be in a shitty relationship, as long as it means they're not alone.
Yeah, a lot of people fall into that trap where they feel like I'm trying to think how to put it into words, because to me they're all three are pretty artificial. Because a common way people would do it is they'll basically have like kind of fake relationships. The other way they'll do it is they'll be with a partner, but they're not really present in the relationship, so to say. So they feel like they're not alone. And then the third thing is they'll kind of use technology to compensate. So they'll use like social media and stuff like that. So, and if you kind of just look at it from a panned out point of view, it's a bunch of people sitting in their room and interfacing with technology. But yeah, I mean, I get the technology is like the bridge, but at the same time, it's still kind of a divider in a way. It's a double-edged sword.
You mean like online dating?
I mean, everything. like I was saying earlier, when you find girls that'll, you know, the kind of catfish guys, or vice versa, guys do it too. Like, you'll see some people that just like to have, like, pen pal relationships because they're just looking for someone to connect to. It's because our society's gotten so lonely that people look for all these abstract ways. Well, not abstract. They look for all these
different avenues.
Yeah, they look for different avenues, but they're all kind of the same dead end to fill that loneliness void. Like,
well, it's all cheap. It's cheap. It's a cheap trade off. It's never going to be a full on relationship in that sense.
Yeah, like I remember, like from women, like sometimes I've heard women, what they'll do is they'll try to have kids in order to kind of fill that void, and it's like, well, that's awful. You gotta get into like some kind of weird incestuous relationship with their kids because they've been managing their own relationships that badly that they can't find fulfillment or realness in anyone around them. So they're like, oh, well, I better make someone who's like half me.
Yeah.
And hope that the kid can do it. And then,
or even in like healthy relationships where there's like a divorce or something and that partner is no longer around or just unavailable, even emotionally, just even if they're still around, there's still that human need for connection. And right. So that's what ends up happening.
Yeah. And I know, like, you I think you were kind of on the heart of it when you said that people have to learn how to be alone, because that's a hard thing to figure out. Like, and for me, that was like probably my biggest demon when I was a depressed teenager, was just dealing with loneliness. But once I learned how to do that better, it feels so weird now that I feel so content with life, opposed to how I used to feel when I was really young.
Ooh.
But for me, I think a large part of that was learning meditation and getting into Buddhism and stuff like that, and kind of realize that nothing's really going to make you permanently happy. It's always fleeting.
Yep.
So I don't think that happiness is at the bottom of, you know, a million vaginas or something like that, because it'll be fun, but eventually you'll still find that it's just as empty as, you know, staring into the night sky.
Yeah, well, that's also another dangerous thing to get comfortable with, being alone, because then you run the risk of never wanting to reintegrate. You know what I mean?
I actually asked a monk that when I was first getting into Buddhism, because I'm like, whoa, I asked him, like, you don't feel like there's a conflict between this and living? And he's like, there absolutely is a conflict between this and living. So it's about finding whatever you want to do with your life, you know? If you want to go out there and raise whatever gives you that sense of purpose, that sense of meaning, being able to find that, it's something that the individual has to answer for themselves.
I wonder if that's what the incels are on to. It's like they'd rather be in blissful solitude
than deal with American women. yeah,
pretty much.
Basically, you have to deal with your wife potentially fucking somebody, or, you know, emotionally cheating on you through social media or whatever. It's not a good package for anybody, because there's also another problem too, where things have gotten reversed, because men aren't going to college and women are working more. So the guys are kind of checked out of society and making more money than
students in $100,000 debt.
The women are making more money than the men. So it's kind of everything's like upside down right now. So we're still trying to gain our footing, but yeah, the incels are actually, they're kind of close to some, there is some truth in what that demographic brings up as problems. And there's some that actually call it going monk mode, where they just kind of accept the loneliness or whatever. But
snap.
I think if you kind of do that, you might actually find yourself in a better position, because you're not going to be suffering. You're not going to be bitter. You're going to be a little more liberated in your thinking and your speaking. And before you know it, goals will start popping up. So it's one of those things that.
Well, that just to me sounds like they're making lemons out of lemonade. I mean, or lemonade out of lemons. What else are they going to do?
Yeah. And go on.
They're using that energy to be productive, which is good, which is what they should do anyway. Because I think a lot of times some people get derailed once they're in a relationship, they stop taking care of business, you know? their grades will
Giggity.
their grades will drop their grades will drop, or you know, their performance at work goes down because they're so focused on the relationship or spending time with that person or texting all the time and shit like that. So in a way, sometimes new relationships can be kind of a, you know, drop in productivity.
Yeah, and it's I think a lot of it comes from too, like, people not really wanting to live below their means. Because you can be pretty solid with not as much money as you think. You just have to kind of let your ego go in a lot of ways. You have to plan and let your ego go. Like, you may not be driving, like, this super nice car or whatever. It's like, and, you know, it's one of those things on both sides. Because for the guys, sometimes you're running into a situation where your girlfriend feels like you're not spending enough time with her. She's like, do you really care about me? Yada, yada. And it's like, well, no, I'm showing I care because I'm trying to make money so that we can have this future or whatever. But in the meantime, she's just sitting there lonely, so it might be harder for her to think that far ahead. And then there's the next issue of how much do you trust all of this to stay together. So it's one of those things that you really need to have, like, a secure bond in order to make something that's lifelong.
And yeah, or the other person also has to have goals and realize that you each have your goals. And, you know, if you want to build something, because that's the thing about relationships, the end goal is to build something, which is a family for most people.
Well, I mean, biologically, yeah, that was the goal. But nowadays,
otherwise, it's just filling that goal. I mean, filling that void.
Nowadays, everybody's so hedonistic that it's not necessarily the goal for a lot of people. A lot of people are like, well, me and my wife, we don't want children. You know, we want to travel for the rest of our lives. So you get people like that kind of, you know, they went a different way on whatever they feel like gives them meaning. And, you know, I hope they're right. But I think for a lot of people, it's about really finding out what they, knowing themselves well enough to know what they'll be content with and not looking at things in such a wrong way that they'll think that this will give them that perma bliss, you know?
Yeah, you definitely have to know yourself well enough to know what you want to do with your future and stuff, and who you want to build that with.
Yeah.
So I think the Enzels have a leg up on that if they play their cards right and they think about it.
Yeah, and at least, I don't know. I mean, for women, there's no such thing really as a female incel. But women kind of fall into different traps where they try to find satisfaction out of their career or I don't know, kind of go the solo lifestyle, which it's a different type of monk mode for women. Which is interesting because, like, monk mode for a woman is almost like being what the old stereotype of a man would be. Like, just hardworking and, you know, stoic or whatever. So,
yeah, those are pretty rare, I feel.
It's
a rare.
When you go to work, you'll see the women that are overworked and really difficult to be around.
Yeah.
It's like they need some dick or something.
There is a proven effect that semen has on women that makes them, like, happy. Like, it's a chemical. That's science. Science, bitch. But yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. I know, like, one girl that she posted some article from CNN. And that's where I saw that thing about they kind of blame women's unhappiness rising on the fact
because
that
they don't have semen.
It sounds like a CNN article, doesn't it? But no, it was basically about the whole, I guess, was becoming the reverse wage gap.
So,
not being able to find a guy that can provide for them because a lot of guys are just kind of checked out and going into video games. Women are checked out and going into pets. So.
Oh, women fall into pets too.
That's what I said. Women are checked out and they're going into pets. Like, you'd be surprised how often girls on dating sites call themselves dog moms.
Oh, God.
And it's one of those things that you don't want to be, like, you try not to make yourself instantly like grossed out by it, but you see it and it's like, I don't want to deal with that. But then that's like 80% of women. So what they're gonna think you're misogynist. And it's like, no, that's not the case. You know what you want, you know?
Yeah.
Like I definitely wouldn't want to deal with I don't know, I wouldn't want to wind up with someone who's just like bringing home animals all the time and kind of hates the kids and stuff like that. It's like, well, no, we got kids here. Play with the fucking kids.
Yeah.
So,
But the kids want a pet.
yeah, well,
Limit on the kids.
tell the kids to play with their little with their little siblings.
You got stuffed animals. Is that not enough?
Yeah, play pretend.
Play pretend. Use your imagination.
It's like, you want to know
Look,
what
you
it's like
just
to have a
pooped.
pet? It's responsibility. So here, you teach them something about responsibility. Like, here, take care of stuff around the house. That's what you would have to do if you had a pet. So,
Yeah. Pets die, though. So
well,
you might want to
everything.
ask, how old is your pet? Are they close to death? That's not that big an obstacle.
Yeah. I think pets are really good for that, though. They can teach kids the concept of impermanence pretty quick.
Oh yeah, it's heartbreaking though.
It is heartbreaking, but if your heart gets broken enough, you kind of learn. It's
Yeah.
really depressing.
It's a fact of life.
Yeah, nothing lasts forever.
Yep.
Do you remember what your first pet was?
Yeah. We had it was like a black lab, but we didn't have her very long. And then, so once she was gone, my parents got me a mouse. And then I was playing with it when I think I was like 5 years old, 6 years old, something like that. And I ended up breaking its back because it got into like a tube on a laundry. It was like a laundry. It was outside. What do you call it? A line. But there were like two, I don't know, tubes, metal tubes,
Oh,
and they're...
was it like in the shape of a T?
yeah.
I know what you're talking about. They had
So
one of
like,
those in my grandmother's house, actually.
yeah, and then the tube was like at foot. You could like step on it, and I guess you can hang your laundry up higher. So I put him in that, and then he wouldn't come out. I couldn't get him out, so I like stuck some, like a stick, like a big broomstick or something, and I ended up shoving it too hard, and it broke it.
It broke the mouse's back or the tube?
Yeah, it broke the mouse.
Oh no.
I didn't break the tube. Yeah, so I fucked that one up, and then I had a bunch of animals. I had like a little turtle, and then they gave me a turtle. Man, like, you can't break this one.
Yourself the one a strong back? So, did
I had a
those.
bunch of little critters, yeah.
I only had one pet that I was responsible for its death, and I felt so fucking bad about that. But
Yeah, I felt pretty bad with the mouse.
poor animals, like.
Had a zoo, dude. I had an iguana, and then we had parakeets. I think that's a Mexican thing. A lot of Mexicans have birds.
Parakeets.
Yeah, they're pretty popular with the Mexicans.
I had parakeets, but I grew up mostly around Mexicans, though. But I think, yeah, I don't know. A lot of people like birds now. Birds are taking off almost as much as cat memes when the internet was first around.
Yeah, birds are pretty cool. What else did I have? And then we had a few more dogs and stuff like that, but I had frogs and snakes and fish and all kinds of stuff.
I just had birds. I didn't really want a dog because I don't know. I didn't want the responsibility, to be honest. I was too lazy. I was like, with birds, I can, the birds aren't gonna get depressed if I don't play with them or anything like that. They're fine. And
Yeah, they
cleaning
just
up,
hang out.
yeah, cleaning up after them was pretty easy. And, birds are pretty happy. They wanted to learn how to talk, but I kept trying with one of them, but he never quite got it. He could kind of mumble it, but he couldn't get the word out clearly.
Yeah, some parakeets talk.
Yeah.
Had a cockatiel. We never really had cats growing up. My mom didn't like cats. So those weren't popular with us.
Yeah, cats, they kind of grew on me after a while. I ended up visiting this girl across the state, and she had about, I don't know, four or five cats or something.
Oh, wow.
So I ended up learning to like cats because there were kittens, and kittens were pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. They're fun. They can be a pain, though.
Yeah.
Our cat was a pain. He only recently started to be sweet, like since we started letting him out to play with other cats. And then he comes home and he just wants to sleep or cuddle. So that's been good for him.
Yeah, back when I was younger, the cats were, I don't know, I would just see cats, like neighborhood cats that didn't really do anything other than stare at us. So I thought it was a weird animal when I was a young kid. I never really liked them. I just thought they were odd.
I didn't think they were weird. It was just like my mom didn't want to have them around. I don't know what her hang up was about them. I think there's like a lot of superstition too with the cats and stuff that keeps at least my people I know away from cats.
Yeah, it's something different about them because cats are, I guess, harder to read emotionally. You have to actually pay more attention with them.
Yeah.
With dogs, you can mostly tell.
But they're really expressive. Like once you like pay attention, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, once you learn how to
They're
understand
just
what's
as
going on.
expressive. Yeah.
Because now I live with two cats, so I slowly learn that, like, oh, okay, that's a good sign that it's coming up to me and meowing. I
He just
don't.
wants food.
Yeah, well, sometimes it'll be after he's eaten, so I don't know
Oh.
what he wants at that point. Or if I say
That's good
something
too.
to him, he'll meow back, so.
Yeah, we had a big talker back in the day.
It is
It was
annoying
just
with
like,
cats, though,
just be
that.
quiet already. Nobody's.
One thing that is annoying about cats is that they will come up to a door when they want in the room, and they'll just yowl for a bit until they get their way.
Ours doesn't really do that. He's just, he wants it when he wants inside in the house, but otherwise he just chills wherever he goes. He's pretty independent. They have
Yeah.
a lot of different personalities.
Yeah, my roommate's cat. They only do it with him, thank goodness. So, as much as I like one of the cats, I always try to keep a little bit of distance so he doesn't get that comfortable where he's knocking on my door in the middle of the night.
Oh yeah. That would suck. Yeah, we want to get a dog eventually, but it's not time yet. I need to have a good chunk of time to spend with a puppy because we want to get a big dog, and I just want to train it right and stuff.
That's another thing too. People get animals and they don't really
They
train
don't
them and
spend
stuff. They don't spend time with them.
nothing worse than a ill-mannered giant dog.
Yeah.
There's a liability for you there.
Yeah, especially part of the town I grew up in, people would get these really large dogs and want them to be aggressive, and then they wouldn't secure them. They wouldn't keep them in the fence at
Oh,
night, so that was a pain. Would just be always
scary.
a little cautious about going outside at night because you
Right.
don't want to get mauled by a pack of pit bulls or something.
Or, huh, these days it's coyotes.
Yeah, one of my neighbors actually told me that there have some coyotes got spotted in the woods near here. So
Yeah, they've been like attacking people. Crazy. There was one in broad daylight over where my mom lives. We were just driving down the street and look over, and there's a freaking coyote just chilling, just looking around.
wow.
Like, what?
Yeah.
It was like in the afternoon, but it was still pretty bright out. Like, there was nowhere near sunset or anything. He was just looking for food because there was a lady down there that used to feed a colony of cats. She didn't even live around there. She just showed up and just fed the damn cats. So the coyote was like ready for its meal or whatever. And he wouldn't pay any attention to the cats either.
Did he sneak in and pretend to be a cat? Or
Do what?
did the coyote sneak in and pretend to be a cat? Or
Yeah, he thought he was a cat.
but
Stupid coyote.
yeah, that's. Yeah, I don't think. don't know much about coyotes. I don't think that they'll attack you one-on-one, though. Like, if there's a pack of them and you look kind of weak, then they might get you if they're hungry.
Yeah, if they're really hungry, I think they would. Like, they've been attacking runners up here in the metro, so... I've seen some articles and news stories. It's like, what? Getting brash or brazen.
Yeah, it's time to get some guns. Pack of coyotes come and start just popping off rounds.
Flamethrowers.
Yeah, they're probably going after those people, though, because they're running. So it probably kicks off their instincts.
Yeah.
It's like one of the things I always stress to kids is don't run from dogs because their instinct is to chase.
Yeah.
So if they just see someone running in the morning, they're like, oh, okay, there's a prey I can get.
Yeah, but I want to get a big dog. I like big dogs. If I get a dog, I want it to have a purpose. It's like, I don't have, you know, more than just companionship, because all pets are going to be companions, but I want it to be more of a deterrent and a protector and stuff.
Yeah. You get a chihuahua. It's a little long dog.
They're fiercest fuckers out there, huh?
The loudest things. Those barks that can shatter eardrums.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's what a lot of people do. They get those just little dogs just to be like an alarm system. Because they're pretty good about that. My friend, his roommate's chihuahua, holy crap. Second someone gets near the door, he just rah, 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 just starts yapping.
Wow. But yeah, for home defense, it would be good to have like a big dog. Just to help take them down or whatever.
Yeah.
Make things easier. Or even if they just see us walking them, they won't figure out where we live. They won't ever come over, try to mess with us or anything. That was my mom's house. It's like we were surrounded by some shady characters, and we never had any issues. But it's because they knew where the dog lived. The big dog.
Yeah, well, that's another perk of dogs. Fortunately, I can't get budgies to do that, though, or cockatiels to just dive and attack if there's an intruder.
Get some attack birds.
That'd be awesome. Get some eagles or something. Get some type of bird of prey. Alrighty, so we're coming up to the 1 hour mark, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. Thanks to everybody that tuned in. Please like and subscribe, and we will see you guys again next time.